I've shared this story a couple of times with different audiences, but I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. And if you're from Des Moines and anywhere at part of Des Moines, especially the west side, you know the name Merle Hay, because you have Merle Hay Mall, Merle Hay Bowling Alley, Merle Hay Cinemas, Merle Hay Mortuary, Merle Hay Jiffy Lube. Everything has the word Merle Hay on it. And yet when our local newspaper asked the question, hey, people in Des Moines, Central Iowa, who is Merle Hay? 5% of the people that responded back actually knew who Merle Hay was. And I ask myself, all these things that bear his name, and yet nobody knows who he is. Okay? Probably the best answer we would hope for with school kids was, he was that soldier guy. Okay? Pretty close. But really what he was Merle Hay was the first American soldier killed in World War I. It was in fact, we didn't even know there was a war started, and the Germans came across the lines ahead of time to start the war. His unit was embedded with French troops, and they overran the trenches, and there was 3 people killed. The eyewitness account says he was the first person killed in the very first minutes of World War I. So that's who Merle Hay was. And I guess my overriding question is, what good is a memorial without the remembering? You know what I'm saying? What good is a memorial without the remembering? All throughout our campus, we have peppered things that are memorializing people that are from York's past. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and share a few of them. I can't get to all of them, and if I leave some out, I apologize. I just want to help us when we have memorials to actually try to remember what those things are all about. Let's start with Larson Commons. It's named after Dale and Raylene Larson. It started out just as an honor to them, but now it's in their memory. Dale Larson was the 14th president of York College. Probably the most notable thing about Dr. Larson was York College, we took it over from, is it United Brethren? Stedden, you were probably there, just kidding. But United Brethren Church, the college was boarded up. There was nothing going on, and he helped reopen the college again. And so his legacy is one of renewal, and it's brought us here very specifically with our fellowship. So the Larson Commons is really to signify the memory of a really great leader in the history of York College and now York University, reopened in 1956. And his wife, Raylene, was awesome too, for sure. If we go onto our campus and we look at some of the swings that we have, some of the swings that you guys love to sit in, there was a lot of people swinging yesterday on the 60-degree day. If you look closely, you're going to see some. This one here is the closest to the arc at Levitt, and it's in memory of Bonnie Etherton. Bonnie, and she passed away in 2007. Bonnie had worked at York College for 30 years. When I first knew Bonnie, she was running the cafeteria, right? And she was tough. And she made sure that you were really well fed right before parents came to visit. She knew the strategic value of that. But she ran a tight ship. And then later on, I know that she was in maintenance. She was more quiet at the end because she had hearing issues. She actually had a cochlear implant. So she seemed really quiet because sometimes she couldn't hear everything. But Bonnie was an awesome servant of York College, and that's her swing. Bruce Tandy. We lost Bruce in 2021. Bruce Tandy worked at York College for 40 years. And at that time, he coached almost everything and had great success. He really did. I'm not kidding you. You name it. Volleyball, softball, women's basketball. He brought tennis. He did everything. AD for a while. He was a jack of all trades, and he had huge success in women's basketball. When I was a student here, our women's basketball team were, even though we were a two-year school, were amazing. They were dominant. They might last two, three games a year. They were that good. And Bruce was a big part of that. But that's just part of his story. In his older years, this guy is so funny. First 3 years I worked here, I went out to with a group of guys to lunch every Friday, and Bruce was there. And all we did was just laugh at the stuff that Bruce was telling us. He was a really great person, a great soul, and he served this the athletic department and then all kinds of things at York for 30 years. When Dr. Larson wanted to get York University up and running again, he brought in these folks, Madge and Mabry Miller. And if you look at the courtyard that's in front of McGee, that was renovated in the memory of Madge Miller. The Miller Room upstairs in Mackey, that's named after them as a couple. That was transitioned from the student center that used to be in the Spiritual Life Center. It was moved over there, and that's when it was called the Miller Student Center, but it's still the Miller Room today. They served York College for 50 years. 50 years. Old Mabry, man, he was old school, wasn't he? If you started his Bible class, how did it start off? A prayer, and you had to sing a hymn. You had to sing a church song, right? He was old school, man, but he was amazing. He was also a formidable person. Ramona, how tall was your dad? 6'3"? He seemed like he was 6'10", okay? But, yeah, that's him, and that's Ramona Ratliff. That's her parents, okay? And, yeah, you didn't know that. She's in the basement of the Ark a lot of times, just getting her work done. And they served this, nobody was greater servants to York College, guys, than Mabry and Madge Miller. They're incredible. If you look at the very top of McGee, what do you see? You're going to see this. You're going to see the window, the circular window. And that's because that is in memory of Kirk Miller. Okay? Obviously, Mabry and Madge's son, Ramona's brother, Keith Miller, who's one of the shepherds at the East Hill Church. That was his twin brother. And Kirk was killed in 1992. He was riding his bike, apparently, between York and Seward on the Highway 6, and was hit by a car and killed. Okay. We used to call him Opie, because anybody that's less than 35 won't know what that's a reference to, but most hopefully everybody else knows the Andy Griffith Show, because he really did resemble Opie. What a good-souled person he was. He was kind, he was gentle, he was amazing. He was an amazing brother, and he was a great classmate of ours, and we lost him way too soon. These next people I'm going to talk about didn't serve York University for 30, 40, or 50 years. We lost them too soon, and that's a whole different type of memory, isn't it? Let me turn your attention to the trees that are on a row outside of Hewlett. The first one is the Brian Lemons tree. We lost Brian in 1997. The anniversary will come up here on February 23rd. We lost him when we went home for a visit. He came back. There was black ice on the highway north of Concordia, Kansas, and there was a car accident. He was killed. Brian was in my youth group at the time when this happened, back in Wichita. That's where you get the Wichita thing, the Kansas thing, okay? And Brian was here for just one semester. He was the goalie on our soccer team. He jumped right in. He was a spiritual leader. Again, Brian was kind. He came from an amazing family. And that's when we lost Brian. Brian believed in the power of one, which means the power of one individual to change people's lot in life. He was very much involved and had a future and a plan to be in Africa to help set up more hospitals to help cure people that didn't have it. Archie, do you know Brian's family? It's people like that, Brian's influence, that allowed us to come to a relationship with people like Archie and all kinds of folks like that. This family is very, very special to us. You also know the training center that's named in his honor down there as well. Probably the most profound thing I'll always remember is Brian was going to be my intern, my youth intern. He was going to work with the middle school group at my church. And he was home that weekend, and we were fired up, and we had a game plan and how he was going to try to teach middle schoolers. And I gave him book after book after book of ideas on what to do with middle schoolers to keep their attention and to get them connected to one another and help them value each other. Okay? And so when he was killed, it was 2 weeks later that a highway patrolman rang the doorbell of my home and delivered back to me all the materials that were in Brian's car when he was killed. And I'll never forget that. And his impression, this must have been a really great kid. I said, you have no idea. He was a great kid. So we lost him in February. And in between that, or in addition to that, I can't believe the writing's so small there, a couple of things happened. Another student, a student that had never officially set foot on a class at York University campus, a basketball player, okay? He was practicing the day before classes start, and he collapsed and died on our basketball court. He had an undiagnosed heart condition, and we lost him even before he set here. But people like Jared Stark knew him well from different camps and things. In fact, Jared shared a story that Nick had went over to his room and put a water bottle, in his refrigerator so it would be cold. He could drink it after practice. He never got a chance to come back and get it. Jared says, if you want to know about Nick Surratt, that water bottle is still in his office and will be in every office that he's had since he's been on campus. Nick was a good friend to a lot of people, but he really never had a chance to blossom in this at this college. After that, that same year that school started, Gretchen Bowman, on November 24th, on her way back, I believe, from Thanksgiving, was killed in an auto accident. Okay. Gretchen had a wonderful smile. She was super friendly, easy to get to know. But again, she didn't have a lot of time here. Okay? People just remember her kindness and her goodness and things like that. So the campus that people have been sharing with me that were here, Brian, Nick, Gretchen, 1, 2, 3, it was devastating for this campus community. And I think the thing that somebody shared with me that struck me was it really gave them a sense to really value everybody that was here. You know, when you realize the enormity of what you lose, you really hope to value what you still have. And that was their reaction to all this loss and pain and suffering. So that's a great story. These are people that I wanted you to get to know today. And one more or two more that's very important to me along the same lines is Debbie Lewis Matkins. This is my sister, okay? And her husband, Kimball. Debbie passed away in 2000 at the age of 45 from lung cancer. She never smoked anything like that. They just got lung cancer and died 5 months after that. She really didn't have a good chance to fight it. It was too late at that time. And we lost her. Her husband, her and Kimball, were chosen Alumni of the Year in 1999, just 5 months before that, before we lost her. Okay, Kimball was an amazing brother-in-law. Okay, I also need to tell you, he has Garrett Schwartz. That's my father and mother-in-law. Okay, to the Schwartzes. My niece is Jenna Schwartz. Okay, so that was her mom. So anyway, we had a connection that way. Debbie died, and then back in 2009, is that right? 2009, we lost Kimball. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease, but he came back and worked at admissions here and served the school and came back to the place where he met my sister, and they were incredible servants of York College back then, and they're still remembered fondly, and so look at her tree at someday. I've already mentioned my son Tyson. He has a bench out there, and we know that we lost him, and I think about him every day. So I guess the point is why, for some of us that walk through this campus and we see all these things, you say, how do you do it? All these sad memories. But you know what? It's not sad. It's good. Because I don't think about what we lost. I think about how good these people were, that we were glad to have them in our lives. And I'm glad that so many people remembered them, and they want to remember them fondly, that we have these things that will help evoke those memories. It's really what this is all about. We don't remember people that score a lot of points. We do. We appreciate that at the time. But you know what we remember in people? We remember their goodness. We remember the quality of their character, their kindness, how they made people better around them, how they were really cool. That's what we miss. And that's what we remember the most. When I first worked here, we had another president. I don't know how many presidents ago it was. But he used to love to start all of his talks to our faculty and staff, and he would refer to passages in Deuteronomy that talk about we drink from wells that we did not dig. Well, I really like this quote. It kind of expounds upon that, and that's really what I want to leave you with today. It says, we all build on foundations we did not lay. We warm ourselves by fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig, and we profit from persons that we did not know. I just wanted to share some of that, some of those memories, some of the goodness of the people that have gone on before you, that have laid foundations and lit fires and planted trees. And now we can benefit from that. Because what good are memorials without the remembering? Thank you.